This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
New disturbing video reveals a highly organized mob-style attack against the Chicago Police Department that sent 18 officers to the hospital.
Chicago Police Department does not want to engage in violent interactions with peaceful protesters. But when the law is being broken, our oath demands that we act.
The head of the Fraternal Order of Police is appealing to President Trump. In that letter, John Catanzara calls Mayor Lori Lightfoot a, quote, complete failure, who is either, quote, unwilling or unable to maintain law and order here.
Oh, how embarrassing.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
There are questions about mass mail-out voting, and I know you don't want to hear them, which is why you talk over me.
Yes. On the China vaccine research, this is very
important. You've gotten to be questioned, which is more than some of your colleagues.
Yes. Thank you, Kelly.
Okay,
Oh, the language on you.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Serious charges against a St. Louis couple who say they were just defending themselves when they displayed their weapons as protesters marched past their home last month.
I've been a little irritated by this process until today. Now I'm just flat out pissed off. The only person in the United States that thinks we did something wrong is our circuit attorney, but she's the same person that let out of jail everybody that was responsible for the looting and fires and destruction.
Somebody's got to do something about it, and I felt like enough was enough, so I'm stepping in to enter into the case here and have the case dismissed.
Unchained and unstoppable.
The only thing we can do about it is be prepared. We have a whole group of lawyers who are going out to every polling voter registration physician in the states.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Last night we had on Charlie Chase, who's an 82-year-old veteran from Fall River, retired teacher who works for the local Republicans in the Trump campaign. He's been assaulted twice now, most recently over the weekend in front of the St. Anne's Hospital in Fall River by these people who don't like Trump. And they attack this elderly guy. And, you know, it's almost getting to the point where we could do a segment every night on a local person who supports Donald Trump, who's been attacked or had his property vandalized. It's predictable, but it's pretty disturbing at the same time what these people are capable of doing. Tonight, we're talking to Robert Gallo. He's from North Reading. You may have seen him on Channel 4 last night, and he has some Trump signs on his house. Banners. And guess what happened? Robert Gallo, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Howie. Nice to talk to you.
Listen, tell us what happened at your house.
This past weekend or the first and second time?
Well, I guess we'll start at the beginning. What happened the first time?
Well, the first time in April, I just put the banners up on my porch, and one morning I just went for a walk, didn't really notice anything that they were damaged or anything, and then when I was coming back, I just happened to see that they were all painted red.
Okay, so that was the first time, and so you reported it to the police, and I guess nothing happened, right?
Yeah, well, they did their due diligence, and they spoke to all the neighbors, and unfortunately at that time I didn't have any cameras. But they, you know, they went around, spoke to everyone they could, and I was able to clean up some of them. Some of the paint came off, and I salvaged what I could, and ordered one or two more signs, and I thought I was good, and I ended up getting some motion sensors sort of to alert me, and every day it was a battery-operated motion sensor, and every night I'd come home and put it on before I went to bed, and you know, in the morning I'd shut it off, and after like 45 days, the Murphy's Law, the one night I didn't put it on, I woke up that next morning and walked out to the porch, and second time, which was about 2 months later, less than 2 months later, they cut large holes in each Trump sign, and they took the parts they cut out.
Ugh. So then what happened?
So I bought three more signs, and I had surveillance cameras installed about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Excellent.
And Saturday night, I worked a double, so I went to bed, and I ended up going to bed, and about an hour later, the motion sensors went off, and it got set off, I think, a little, you know, 15 seconds later than they should have. By the time I got to the window, they were running through my front yard and into a getaway car.
A getaway car. And did they have the signs?
They ripped everything. They ripped at a Trump standout that they took, and they took all my banners. They took them with them.
Wow. But this time, Robert Gallo, you had photographs, right?
I did. Video and photographs.
So I saw them on the website. Have the North Reading police made an arrest yet, or have they at least identified them?
Yeah, the only thing they told me today, they did say that they were making good progress, and that's all they tell me.
So you think they're going to get them?
I do.
Did you recognize them, by the way?
No idea who they were.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea. And then the bad news is I did get a call from the town of North Reading that I guess my signage was too big, so I can't exceed over 16 square feet in my Trump signs. So I have to downsize.
This has happened before. We had a guy from Haverhill that had the same problem, I think 4 years ago, and it was the same thing. The town or the city came after him rather than the people that were going after his signs. It's ridiculous. But have you gotten support from people in your neighborhood? Are they on your side?
Very supportive. I had a neighbor who I never met before came by. He left me a $100 bill. And the second time it happened, another neighbor that I never met came to my house and gave me $100 to replace the signs. And now today, my daughter called me and said somebody just dropped off this huge Trump sign in front of my house.
Oh, that's great.
Well, yeah, it's been very supportive. A lot of vets come in and supporting me, so it's been...
Yeah, you're an ex-Marine, right? You're an ex-Marine?
I am. Yes, sir.
So why do you support Donald Trump, Robert Gallo?
I just like him. You know, when he speaks, you know, he's the type of guy that when he speaks, he's talking to you, not at you. And I can relate to him.
What would you tell these two guys who, you know, I hate to say it and stereotype, but those looking at those two guys, I'm not surprised. Are you?
It's just sad to see that it's come to this. It's really disheartening. You hate to see when people damage your property. You know, you just wonder why they're doing it.
Yeah. Someone says, you need a watchdog.
I have two dogs, but they were sleeping.
He's selling my dog. Sleep through everything. So listen, what would you tell these guys? What would you tell these two guys that did this to you?
You know, Howie, I don't even, what do you say at this point? People are so fanatical with their beliefs. Sometimes you want to get through to them and have a conversation, but sometimes you wonder if it's even worth it. I hope it is. You know, just people, it's so tough to change people's views. You know, you just want people to have an open mind, and it seems to be going away nowadays.
Yeah. Do you want them prosecuted if the cops can identify them?
Definitely. Let the law take its course. Most definitely. Totally prosecuted.
Yeah, North Reading, that's Middlesex County. I don't think the DA is a big supporter of Donald J. Trump, Marion Ryan. So, you know, I don't know if she... I don't know, though. I mean, but it's vandalism. I mean, how much damage do you figure they did but if you took all, you know, they're only going to be charged with one case, but how much monetary damage have the three incidents done to you?
Other than the signs, there's paint damage to my my porch and black paint on my front of my porch. So there's some damage there, which I'm not that concerned about. I just wish they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. But you're not gonna give up. You're gonna gonna put the signs back up, right?
Well, the one now 16 square feet. I'll have the one 16 square foot sign in front of my house.
not multiple signs anymore. Just the one. And how about is the cutout of the president coming back or not?
Yeah, I'll put that up. Melania and Donald, of course. That'll be up. Greeting people at my front door.
That's great. We appreciate it, Robert. And thanks for being a good sport about it. And I really hope I hope they like call us back, call Grace back if they catch these guys, and so we can mention their names on the air. I hope they find them. Thank you. That's Robert Gallo from North Reading, and again, his place has been vandalized. His house has been vandalized 3 times because he has Trump signs out front, and now he's got pictures of them though. And as I said, they're on the Channel 4 website, and yeah, they could come from Central Casting. Send me a couple of hippies. Send me a couple of hippies that are have got nothing better to do on Sunday morning at 2 o'clock than to vandalize somebody else's house, and these two guys would show up. All right, we'll be right back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Camp, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Most home security systems try to trap you with high prices and tricky contracts. SimpliSafe has everything you need to protect your home with none of the traditional drawbacks. Go to SimpliSafeHowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Is it a good idea for President Trump to resume his daily coronavirus briefings?
Yes, I think it is a good idea.
42% say no.
See, the thing is, again, I was wavering back and forth until Chuck Schumer announced that it was a terrible idea, in which case I knew without a doubt it was the right move. 844-500-4242. 603 says, I had my Trump flag stolen last week. I purchased 2 more flags and I was going to put out my Trump cutout as well. This is Dave in New Hampshire. Here's 978. I live in North Reading and I drive by Robert's house all the time. Too bad he had to make the sign smaller. North Reading is more conservative than most Massachusetts towns, so I'm surprised. Yeah, but even the most conservative towns have a heavy moon bat influence. And you know, the thing is too, that people, if you're on like a main drag, people from other towns are driving by and you know, they see it and they just, it's like waving a red cape in front of a bull.
There's a sign in Harwichport, which is, you know, beautiful people, Cape Cod. And it says, here's how I pledge to work on my racism. And if you look at the sign, people have written in different things and there's a lot of bleep Trump, dump Trump, get Trump out of office. It has been there untouched for at least a month, maybe 2. I've been tempted to throw it down because I think it's disgusting that they have all these curses and it's in front of the church there or whatever. But I don't touch it because I'm not deranged and I don't want to get caught on camera tearing up a piece of cardboard.
Right.
And theirs is far more offensive than just a sign supporting a candidate. Theirs is curses and, you know, saying awful things scribbled on a board.
Yeah. I mean, this has been going on for a while, though, too. Because I remember when Scott Brown was running for a full term, and I'm just thinking back now, 2012. I mean, I had some big signs, and I lived on one of those cross streets at the time in Wellesley, you know. And they took it down 2-3 times. And I'd put it back up, you know, put a new one back up, and I'd, you know, nail it in, you know, even more securely, and I'd come back in the next day and it'd be gone. Then I put up a little stupid camera, not one like Robert Gallo had, but it was just a cheap one. And one morning I came out and that was gone too. They stole the camera on top of the sign. 844-500-4242. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling.
I have the pleasure of meeting you once at the Keene Pumpkin Festival. Anyhow, a quick comment on the Trump comment on Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yes.
I think it was just his sly way of saying that he hopes that she doesn't meet the same fate as Jeffrey Epstein so she can testify.
I know. A lot of people are texting that, David. But, you know, he's the guy who's ultimately in charge of the Bureau of Prisons. I mean, it's up to him to make sure it doesn't happen. I know, the Bureau of Prisons is under William Barr, the Attorney General. But ultimately, it's his responsibility. I think he was just being polite. Grace was describing it during the break as it was like something you'd say at a cocktail party. You know, oh, so-and-so's having a problem. Oh, I hope things work out for her. You know, and I didn't think anything of it. It didn't sound that bad to me, but Axios is already out there, but they don't know how even Axios, a left-wing sheet website, they don't know how much to push it. So they just said Trump on Ghislaine Maxwell. I wish her well, and they just left it. That's what they tweeted out. They're just, I assume they're all trying to work themselves up into a towering rage about what he said. Then the fact that Bill Clinton was on the Lolita Express 20 plus times, not a big deal. George Mitchell going down to that island, former senator from Maine, not a big deal. Former Democrat, governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson on the flights. Nah, nothing to see here, folks. Move along. But President Trump says, I wish her well. How dare he? Let's say we have a new article for the next impeachment. It's ridiculous. 844-500-4242. They're walking around with their chins out. They just want, or a chip on their shoulder. They just want someone to knock the chip off their shoulder. Incidentally, you see what happened to Michelle Malkin was attacked, and she was at this support the police rally in Denver on Sunday, and the Antifa types just came out and just rushed them, and the Denver, according to Michelle Malkin, the Denver police just stood by and watched law-abiding citizens with a permit to have a rally get attacked by these thugs. And she was smacked around. I mean, she weighs about 90 pounds. She's tiny, and she's tough. She's been through a lot, but still, I mean, she doesn't need to be physically threatened. It's just it's really something that they Denver police appeared to be disinclined to protect the peaceful pro-police rally attendees who were soon set upon by the leftist cadres immediately after the rally began. So they're out to support the police, and the police won't support them by upholding the law. But we don't need any federal officers in any of these cities, you know? I'm Howie Carr.
With 2020 as crazy as it's been, you really start to appreciate the little things. I know I haven't talked about ButcherBox in a while, but my monthly delivery of meat is a convenience I look forward to more than ever. It's one less thing I have to worry about, especially when going to the grocery store can be such a hassle. ButcherBox makes accessing high-quality meat easier and more affordable than ever. They source their meat from farms with the best practices, ensuring the meat you get was humanely raised without antibiotics or added hormones ever. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. And their website is loaded with awesome recipes that the whole family will love. Sign up for ButcherBox today at butcherbox.com/Howie. That's butcherbox.com/Howie. butcherbox.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Well, that didn't take long for there to be a controversy over Lara Trump's bus tour in Maine. I'm reading a headline now from the
Boston Globe website. We were never told about it. Quotes, Maine brewery to close for the day after owners say they were misinformed about Trump campaign event. So the owners of a Maine brewery, this is the Stars and Stripes Brewing Company in Freeport, said they were taken by surprise when they learned this week that their business would serve as a backdrop for a high-profile event in support of President Trump's reelection. The Women for Trump bus tour was scheduled to host a dinner featuring Lara Trump at the brewery, and it was going to be the first of three stops during a two-day bus tour through Maine and New Hampshire. And it was going to include Mercedes Schlapp, Katrina Pearson, Pam Bondi, the former Attorney General of Florida, and the chairwoman of the Maine Republican Party. And so Stars and Stripes said on Facebook today that the logistics were not fully divulged from the start, and as a result, the company decided to close on Wednesday. Southern Maine has been closed for how many months? I would think they would be happy to be hosting an event.
It's a little ways from Freeport, but I'm sure Sunday River Brewing would love to have the Women for Trump bus stop by.
Yeah, I can think of a few other. I'm not going to announce it for them, but I think there'd be a few other places that would love to have them stop by as well that we could come up with in Southern Maine. 844-500-4242. This is just crazy. Before we go back to the phone lines, I just want to there was an interesting interview over the weekend with the CEO of Goya. What's it, how does he pronounce his name again?
I can't picture it right now. Spell it for me.
UNANUE.
Unanwe.
Unanwe. Unanwe. Okay, so he gives an interview to the Wall Street Journal, and he's basically saying nice things about Trump, and you know, he comes from a traditional family background, and you know, and he wants to do the right thing by everybody, and he has a Catholic education, et cetera, et cetera. So the as he's saying all these things and basically becoming portraying himself as a deplorable boomer, credulous boomer rube, his PR person is just fidgeting and very nervous and concerned about how this is going to play out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the reporter who conducted the interview says, I email Mr. Unanwe on Thursday asking for a comment on the endorsement of Goya by Mr. Trump and his daughter Ivanka tweeting photos of themselves. And he responds with an expression of gratitude to the first family. An hour later, says the reporter for the Wall Street Journal, I receive an email from a different PR woman. Would like to retract and edit that quote immediately. Please see below for the approved quote, unquote. The approved quote makes no mention of Donald or Ivanka Trump. 2 hours more go by, and I get another email from PR retracting the reworked quote altogether. This is how paranoid they are. And I don't blame them. Then, after another 2 hours, the upright Unanwe, Mr. Unanwe, emails me himself. I remain strong in my convictions that I feel blessed with the leadership of our president, he writes. That has been repeated over and over again, and I stand by it. I hope and pray you understand my position. Well, that's good. I'm glad he did that. I'll have to buy some more Goya beans if they're not sold out. Lisa, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Howie. How are you?
Good.
Good. First-time caller. I didn't call for this reason, but I'm going to start off by saying that I make a point of buying Goya now every time I go to Market Basket, whether I need it or not. I'm making a point of kind of stockpiling a little bit of food because I don't trust the direction this country is going in. The reason I did call, though, was regarding Trump signs back in 2016. I had my hands on a couple of yard signs that I had posted out. And I live in Rutland, Massachusetts, so the geographical center of Massachusetts. I don't know if you're familiar with Route 68. It could be busy sometimes.
Yeah.
In any event, both of those yard signs were stolen, and I didn't notice, but somebody happened to get a license plate number and gave it to me, so I called the police. And they looked up the plate number and said, okay, we know who this is. They went and they told the kid, you have two choices, return those signs or be arrested. Those signs were returned promptly.
Oh, that's good.
And then I had a large 4x6 flag on a flagpole on my house. It actually came from Trump campaign, a long story with that. Overnight, that flagpole was ripped off of my house. Ugh. Off of my house. But the cops retrieved that in a dumpster one town over. So I threw that through the wash and still have that one, too. Now I have a huge banner that I want to put up on my house. I've since installed a security camera, too, up high. But with all that's going on, my husband's too paranoid to put it up. He's afraid somebody's going to go by and throw a Molotov cocktail at our house.
I'm glad you're taking it well, Lisa. I kind of understand how your husband feels, you know. I mean, I hate to say that. I hate to acknowledge it. But, you know, it's you got to ask yourself, is it worth, you know, this tension that you're going to feel once you put the sign up, right?
You know, but I don't, well, it's going to kill my sales because I have to tell you, I've been making a lot of money selling masks. And when people come by to pick them up, I'm sure I sold to a lot of liberals in the area. I'm sure my sales will go down. That would be a big downfall. But, you know, I hate to be silenced by the same token.
I know.
As well, you know.
Exactly.
I don't think the silent majority can be silent anymore. We got to start making some noise. Like, I made myself a mask, a Trump mask. I wear that out sometimes.
Really? What's your response when you wear the Trump mask?
I've only worn the mask once, but I was wearing my Trump shirts because I have, you know, a bunch of stuff. And typically, like in a Market Basket or something like that, or once in BJ's, like up at Northboro Crossing there. And I've only ever had positive feedback. I'm sure I've had some looks and some people think some things, but I'd be in a Market Basket, maybe in Leominster, and have three people say, "Hey, I like your shirt." You know, and a couple people get riled up and start talking about it too. So only positive feedback with that.
Yeah, I just got a text from somebody earlier, and he said that he wears a MAGA hat, and to make sure he never has any problems, he wears his NRA T-shirt with the MAGA hat, and then nobody bugs him. That may be the way to go, Lisa. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. Limerick guy says, "Howie, it could have been Republicans who kept destroying your Scott Brown signs because they were sick and tired of his rhino act." I know, but the thing is, I mean, yeah, it was a bit of a rhino act. I'll concede that. But still, would you prefer the rhino act of Scott Brown or the fake Indian act of Elizabeth Warren? I don't think there's too much question which one you're going to go with. 844-500-4242-603. Howie, if you know any fellow deplorables who work at Fenway Park and who make signs, you should ask them to make a sign for each member of Trump's family administration and have them placed in the stands behind home plate so I can see them when I watch the Red Sox home games on TV. That might be one of the few reasons to watch a Red Sox home game on TV this truncated year, shall we say. 844-500-4242. Robert, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, Howie?
Good.
Yes, I don't think you're an angel, Howie, but I do think you were sent down from heaven to do the job you're doing there.
Thank you. I'm definitely not an angel.
But what I wanted to say, Howie, up here in northern Maine, the logging industry's in really rough shape. We lost a paper mill earlier this spring, and there was another one that had big layoffs here just a week or two ago. So the paper makers and the loggers and all of us up here are in pretty rough shape. And I think Mitch McConnell ought to reconsider his opinion on shutting down unemployment off because I don't know if he realizes, but in 2016, we give Donald Trump the electoral vote here.
Well, I know I know the president knows it. He's talked about it over and over again. He knows that. Robert, the president said at the press conference today that they just want to restructure it a little bit so that you know, if people can get the jobs, they you know, go back to their old jobs or get a new job, that they're not going to be too comfortable with you know, getting the $600 plus the standard unemployment rate. I think they're working on something, Robert. I think the problem with the first package of the $600 a week unemployment checks on top of the regular state unemployment checks is that these state unemployment offices agencies are so antiquated that they can't handle you know, distinguishing between people who can go back to work and people who can't go back to work, and so they just decided to use the one size fits all approach.
And now it's damaging businesses in some parts of the country. Not, I understand the situation in northern Maine is more dire than it is elsewhere. But like places down on the Cape here in Massachusetts, they have shortages of workers. They really do.
Right, but I know some loggers. You know, they was laid off, and their companies hired them back, and they went right back to work. You know, what I was going to say is, you know, like for one thing, Howie, too, I wanted to say, like, the farmers up here, if they have a bad year, you know, they get subsidized. The fishermen, they have a bad year, they get subsidized. The loggers, they take it right on the chin if they have a bad year. Nobody cares, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. That's, I think, you know, and I know, I'm sure you didn't have anything to do with this, but the people in the 2nd District, it's too bad that they're not represented any longer by Bruce Poliquin. Instead, they're represented by a Democrat who lost the election. Jared Golden, but thanks to ranked choice voting, he got in, and that's the future for everybody if the Dems get their way. I mean, it's abolish the Electoral College, cut the voting age to 16, let illegal aliens vote, let felons vote. There are all kinds of ways they plan to make sure that nobody who's taxpayer friendly, nobody who's American citizen friendly, American culture friendly can ever win again. And ranked choice voting is part of the package. Thanks for the call, Robert. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Thanks, Howie, for taking my call. Howie, I'm a fan of Tucker Carlson. I think he's a really decent man.
Yes.
And I feel like his point of view is objective. And I don't know if you remember, but a year and a half ago, Antifa raided his house.
I do.
And
I do remember it.
Obscenities not spray painted on his driveway, and his wife was put the kids in the closet and had to call for security. And Tucker said last night that he loved where he lived because that's where his kids grew up. But he silently sold his house and moved.
I know.
And now on Thursday, the New York Times is going to print his new address, I think.
Right.
I think it's unconscionable they could do that.
I know. He mentioned that last night. I'm glad you brought this up, Bruce, because we've got the sound cuts to play. Play cut number one there, Taylor.
Last week, the New York Times began working on a story about where my family and I live. As a matter of journalism, there is no conceivable justification for a story like that. The paper is not alleging we've done anything wrong, and we haven't. We pay our taxes. We like our neighbors. We've never had a dispute with anyone. So why is the New York Times doing a story on the location of my family's house? Well, you know why. To hurt us. To injure my wife and kids so that I will shut up and stop disagreeing with them.
Yeah. I mean, I know where he lives. He has two houses. I'm not going to mention it, though. But he's right. I mean, just cut three.
But the New York Times followed us. The paper has assigned a political activist called Murray Carpenter to write a story about where we are now. They've hired a photographer called Tristan Spinski to take pictures. Their story about where we live is slated to run in the paper this week. Editors there know exactly what will happen to my family when it does run. I called them today and I told them, but they didn't care. They hate my politics. They want this show off the air. If one of my children gets hurt because of a story they wrote, they won't consider it collateral damage. They know it's the whole point of the exercise, to inflict pain on our family, to terrorize us, to control what we say. That's the kind of people they are.
And he has the highest rated show, not just among the cable news channels, but on cable TV. It's the highest rated show on cable TV. And it has been for months, pretty much, you know, round the clock. You know, Hannity will beat him on a night if he has Trump on as a special guest. But he's basically the star. And he's definitely the intellectual leader of the Fox News Channel, which is the conservative channel, conservative television. Basically, you know, it stands head and shoulders above the other channels, including my own channel of Newsmax, unfortunately. But they're trying to force him out. They're trying to force all these people out. And it's terrible. We'll play another cut when we come back. I'm glad you brought that up, Bruce, so that we could talk about it. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
They'll deny this, of course. They'll claim it's just journalism, just the facts. Really? So how would Murray Carpenter and his photographer Tristan Spinski feel if we told you where they live, if we put pictures of their homes on the air? What if we publicized the home address of every one of the soulless robot editors at the New York Times who assigned and managed this incitement to violence against my family? What about the media editor, Jim Windolf? We could do that. We know who they are. Would that qualify as journalism? We doubt they'd consider it journalism. They'd call it criminal behavior if we did it. And that tells you everything.
You know, sad thing is one of the brothers, Rupert Murdoch's sons that runs the paper, Lachlan and James. James and his wife have given $1.3 million to Joe Biden's campaigns. $1.3 million. So, you know, he has the ratings behind him and he has the people who watch him, all of us behind him. But corporate doesn't have his back, ultimately. Incidentally, we have an update on the Maine Brewery Tour situation. The Stars and Stripes Brewery, the unaptly named Stars and Stripes Brewery, has gone AWOL from the Trump campaign, and they've canceled the event tomorrow night with Lara Trump and Pam Bondi and a bunch of others, Trump women. There's an update, though, from the Trump campaign. The dinner event has been moved from Freeport at the Stars and Stripes Brewery to Jimmy the Greek's restaurant in Old Orchard Beach. The bus tour will travel to New Hampshire for a roundtable Thursday in Concord and a Women for Trump Empower Hour. So it's going to be held at the Jimmy the Greek's in Old Orchard Beach. Alonzo, you're next with Howie Carr. Quickly, Alonzo.
Hello, Howie. Great show. I always look forward to listening to it.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I've been watching pro sports since 1971, and now I am officially finished. I called Comcast today, and I canceled all my pro sports channels, NBA, NHL, NFL, Major League Baseball. Last night, the manager of the San Francisco Giants took a knee.
I heard about it. Yeah, I know. I was thinking that, you know what, Alonzo, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, the last thing I would watch would be a little bit of pro football, but I'm not going to watch the two national anthems, and I'm not going to watch the knee taking. And before, when they take the knee, I would just not tune in until they were in the first quarter. Now I may be checking out too, Alonzo. A lot of us out there. I'm Howie Carr.